Welcome to the PowerPress podcast. I'm your host, Mackenzie, and today we're joined with Mike Dell from Blueberry. He is our main tech support guy.
Oh, hello. I didn't know I was supposed to say hi. Hi.
Yeah, say hi. So as I'm sure some of you have reached out to Mike before with some issues or seen him respond to problems on various podcast groups on Facebook and Google Plus. But today he's here to talk to us about RSS feeds. And, Mike, can you mention your podcast as well?
Yeah, I do a podcast called Podcast Help Desk, ironically, which is what I do for Blueberry. I also do a podcast about.
But I'm sure that's a good basically place to get information.
Talks about podcasting, you know, like the world needs another podcast about podcasting.
I know, but that's what we're all here doing a lot of the time. So for podcaster news this week, I wanted to bring up kind of something that goes along with what we talked about last week. So we talked about International Podcast Day last week, and this week there's a conference called PodCon happening on Blab on Thursday, October 8th. It is currently Tuesday the 6th, so we're going to get this out for you guys tomorrow so, you know, the early birds can get this information from us. But PodCon is on Blab, and Blab, I don't even know how to describe it. To me, it reminds me, it's like a mixture of Periscope and Twitter and Google Hangouts at the same time. I still am not entirely sure how it works.
Yeah, I like to call it like Google Hangouts only arranged in Brady Bunch style.
Okay.
You know, four possible hosts or participants.
And then you kind of like kick someone out and someone else shows up.
Bring people in and then bring new people in and kick out other people. It's kind of a, you know, a four-person chat room. And then there's an actual chat room along the side. It's kind of interesting technology.
Right. I saw that. The only time I had really looked at it or watched anything on it was I watched some of the stuff live on podcast day. And then the day after they had, I think it was like 13 hours of recorded information that they put up that you could go back and watch. I don't know if that's still available now. Once again, I'm not entirely sure
actually,
how Blab works.
32 hours. They did it the entire podcast day, the whole day, including they started a little early.
Yeah. They started a little early, I think, for like, they want to call it International Podcast Day. They got to start before Eastern, Central, and Pacific time.
Right. And so they, you know, kept passing the hosting duties. Like on Blab, somebody's designated the host.
Right.
And they can control who comes in and who doesn't and all that stuff. And they pass that around the world throughout the 32 hours.
Right.
So towards the top of the hour, you know, Dave Lee would come in or Steve or one of those guys and transfer it over to the next bunch. So they had somebody in Australia or had, you know, a few guys in Australia and a few people in New Zealand. Went to, I believe, Japan at one point.
Got all the way to Todd in Hawaii. He was on for a while.
Yep, and, you know, they did Europe. In fact, I was up in the middle of the night and listened to some German podcasters podcasting in German on Blab. That was interesting, and I got about 20% of it.
Well, that's good. That's probably more than I would have gotten. But, PodCon, they're calling it a pop-up conference for podcasters and podcast junkies. So it's, once again, all online. To find out this information, go to podcon.splashthat.com, and you can RSVP to it.
They've got the whole lineup of speakers over there. We'll have a link in the show notes to the PodCon thing if you get this before Thursday.
Right. So I looked at this earlier today. I looked at the website earlier today, and in like a couple hours, they've added another speaker. So they have 10 currently, including John Lee Dumas, Rob from, I believe Rob has a podcast, Ray Ortega, Elsie from Libsyn,
Veronica Belmont.
Veronica Belmont and some other people on there as well. It starts at noon Pacific, so 3 p.m. Eastern and 2 Central, and I honestly don't even know what else for the rest of the world. But it's going to go on for about 4 hours, I think.
GMT plus 4 for us. But.
Yeah. So sessions, it looks like, are about a half hour each, just to, you know, break everyone up. But they've got some good topics. We're going to hear John Lee Dumas's backstory. We're going to talk about, you know, moving from TV to podcasting and dealing with radio and podcasting together. And then at the end, kind of wrapping it up with a congratulatory, like, get involved with podcasting, pitch your podcast type of thing.
Yeah, I'm wondering if these sessions, being a half hour long, are going to be long enough, but it should be an interesting experiment.
We will find out.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure, you know, they'll be available for replay afterwards, as most blabs are.
Right, right, because last week during podcast day, I would check in every once in a while, but couldn't really stay for very long, so I would see like 5 minutes of one person and then come back a couple hours later and see 5 minutes of that person, so I'd recommend checking it out. Look at the schedule beforehand to make sure that you're not missing anything that you really want to see, because half hour is not very long to see something.
Right.
So International Podcast Day went very well. And as far as I can tell, PodCon on Thursday is going to do well. So we'll see if more of these types of things pop up. You never know. But
yeah, I'm hoping so. You know, that Blab technology, or, you know, their platform lends itself to podcasters, you know, as another way to reach out. You know, I wouldn't make that your primary platform, but no. It is kind of neat. A friend of mine does a weekly live show on there now. He used to do it via Google Hangouts, mm-hmm. on air, and has moved to the Blab platform because of its ease of use.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there you go. The easier it is, the better. Actually, the easier it is, the better kind of brings me into my podcaster struggle topic of the week. Which
newbie podcaster struggle? Is,
yeah,
that what you call it?
Yeah, that's what we're going with. So last week I talked about getting the mixer all set up for the episode here in our Blueberry Studio, which is still somewhat of a work in progress. So on our last episode, we all kind of decided that there was some background noise or some white noise, whatever you want to call it, that we would prefer to get rid of. So we got what was it called? It was a compressor limiter gate. Now, yep. That to me, I have no idea what that means. I know that it's supposed to get rid of this white noise.
Yeah, compressor limiter gate basically processes your microphone audio.
Mm-hmm.
And the compressor part wasn't what we were going for. We were going for the gate function. Like on my setup here, I've got my gate set to where if there's any background noise, when I quit talking, it cuts my mic off.
Okay.
And any sound below a certain level never gets to
the
mic.
Never gets picked up.
Right. And the theory was that would take care of that background hiss that we were getting at the studio there.
Right.
So, you know, as you know, you go ahead and tell the story.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, Mike is not in Columbus, but he came down to help me get this all set up a couple of weeks ago. So last week we were trying to get this this compressor all set up, and the second I plugged this compressor in, we got a terrible buzzing noise. Like the second I plugged it in.
A ground loop hum.
Yeah.
Google that sometime.
Ground loop hum. Could not figure out how to get rid of it. Didn't really realize at first, like, where it was coming from until I just started unplugging things. And plugging them back in periodically, like, one by one, and seeing where the noise was coming from. And we eventually realized it's the, it's called a Composer Pro XL.
Yeah, it's a Behringer two-channel compressor limiter gate. And it's called, the Composer Pro XL. That's, I guess the model number was MDX2600.
Yeah, 2600. That's what it is. So for sometime before we do the next episode, I'm going to figure out what we can do about plugging this into the wall differently, because currently we have multiple extension cords involved in this setup, including an extension cord into the wall, which then goes into another extension cord, and then I believe another extension cord. So my next step is figure out if the wall is the problem, if we just have too many things plugged in at the same time, or if we can just figure something out, because right now that buzz is killing it.
Yeah, so that's unplugged now, and we are hearing a little of the background noise, which I'm going to teach Mackenzie how to hopefully get rid of most of it in Audition.
Yeah, honestly, I hate editing. I really do. I did not like it when I was in radio. I did not like it in college when I had to do multiple audio projects. I am not a fan.
Right, and the whole purpose of getting things set up eventually the way you want them is you flip the switch, so you record, you hit stop, you're done.
Yeah, I don't. So once we can get this, dialed in, that I won't have to do major editing.
Right, and it shouldn't be too bad today. We're doing all right.
We are. I think we're doing okay. Okay, so that is the gist of my podcast struggle. Once again, our Blueberry setup, which has amazing equipment and tools. It's just a matter of making it all work together, which I will eventually figure out.
Yeah, and you don't need to start with such an elaborate setup, but for this podcast, we're planning on having, a guest in every week, either via Skype or in studio. Mm-hmm. And plus, we wanted to, show you how things worked.
Yeah, that's definitely part of the process of, we obviously have the capabilities to get this equipment and, have suggested it to people before. It's just a matter of, it's part of my new podcaster struggle of getting it together.
There you go.
With the help of you guys.
Well, you're doing good, and we didn't purposely try to throw you to the wolves.
It's okay. Whether it feels like it some days or not, it's okay.
There you go.
Okay. So, Mike, we have you on here for a reason, because you are much more knowledgeable about things in tech, such as RSS feeds, than I am. So I'm going to have you divulge into that right now.
All righty. Well, a lot of times in tech support for Blueberry especially, people have trouble with their RSS feeds, but in general, podcasters have some trouble with the RSS feed. So, and I'm assuming if you're a podcaster, you know what an RSS feed is, but in case you don't, an RSS feed is just a file that sits on a server somewhere that is populated with all the necessary information to transmit your content to other people's podcatchers. That's what we used to call it back in the day. So
before nowadays, they were called podcast apps.
Yeah, podcast apps. Yeah. iTunes. Everybody talks about iTunes. It's not the only place in town, but it's the 800-pound gorilla. Mm-hmm. But basically, it's your transmitter. If you consider, you're broadcasting, your RSS feed's your main transmitter. And there's a lot of things that can cause your RSS feed to screw up. Or if you're just starting out, you may not understand why it is that iTunes is telling you that your your feed isn't valid if you're trying to submit it to iTunes or whatever. And I come up with a list of, you know, the six major things that normally I find is the problem. It's usually one of these six.
Okay. That's good to know, especially for me, because I know nothing.
Right. Well, one, you're already past that. You're on, what, episode 3 now?
Right.
So you do have episodes in the feed, but a lot of people try to get ahead of themselves and they get their website set up and they set up PowerPress or they, you know, whatever platform they're on, they set up their RSS feed and then they try to submit it to iTunes ahead of time before they've put out their first episode.
Okay.
Well, RSS2, which is the version that we use for podcasting, doesn't become valid unless there is an enclosure. And the enclosure is your MP3 file or your video file, okay, your media.
I'm glad I at least knew that. Okay.
Yeah. But you don't know, you know, how many times I get people that, you know, say, hey, you know, feed validator's telling me that my feed's invalid or iTunes won't take my podcast feed. And I go to look at their feed and they haven't posted anything yet.
Right.
So number one, post something. You know, even if it's a little test file, we used to call it episode 0.
Yeah.
You know, you just throw something in the feed if you want to get, you know, started on getting it in iTunes and Stitcher and all these other directories. You got to have something in it.
So can you take that out later?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can take that out if you want. Or a lot of people use that as an introduction. So
basically saying, hey, I'm doing a podcast. Episode 1 will come later.
Yeah. Hey, I'm doing my underwater basket weaving podcast. You know, join me next week for episode 1.
Right.
You know, just some little thing and you can just leave it in there.
Okay.
And that will get something in the feed that will, you know, allow you to, you know, ahead of time, submit all your, you know, submit your feed to all the directories and whatever. And another problem we see a lot, especially after a podcaster's been at it a couple of years, all of a sudden their RSS feed gets too big.
Right.
Physical size, not physical size, but, you know, too many bits, bytes, whatever.
Right.
And that happens, you know, when you go over a certain number of episodes or if you write really long show notes or whatever. And the size of a RSS feed, the limit seems to be, and it's not a hard standard, but about a half a megabyte, not half a gigabyte, half a megabyte, 512K.
That doesn't make sense to me.
Well, because it doesn't include the size of the media files.
Yeah.
It only includes the text.
Gotcha.
So, you know, if you either have, you know, 300 episodes and your show notes are really long, your feed will get big.
Okay.
And there's a lot of ways to take care of that. One is limit the number of items in your feed. You don't have to have all 300 of your episodes in your feed. Or you can. I'll have a PowerPress tip here at the end that will show you how to take care of that.
Okay, great.
One of the tips I have. But, you know, that's another big problem. And, you know, limit it. You know, if you're using WordPress, you can just limit the number of items in the feed to, say, 50. You know, so in the feed, you'll have 50 episodes. Even if you have 300, people can always come to your website to get the older ones. You know, a lot of people get... you know, they say they want it all in there. You know, our CEO Todd has what, you know, almost 1,100 episodes, something like that.
I think he might have podcast. Hit that before, actually. I think he's past that.
Yeah, I mean, but he's up there, you know, he's over 1,000.
Oh yeah.
And he can't have all those in his feed. In fact, iTunes limit is 300. So iTunes itself will only list 300 no matter how many are in your feed.
Yeah.
You know, and people don't go through their feed to find all your back episodes.
No.
You know, they'll come to your website if they're that interested. And so, you know, really 50 is about right, maybe 100, you know. But once it gets past that, the feed will start to get too big. And, you know, iTunes, Stitcher, even Blueberry Directory will quit pulling it after it gets above a certain size. And it won't update anymore. So that's not good. But that's one, you know, that's number two on the list of things that I hear all the time.
Yeah.
Three is more than one enclosure per feed item. this is kind of techie geeky, but certain services out there, and I won't name them.
Okay.
But not Blueberry and not PowerPress and not Libsyn and not any of the big players, but some of the minor players out there put two enclosures in there. In fact, there's a really big minor player that does that, and I just had to deal with that today.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Right, but they have the MP3 file, which is what you want.
Yeah.
But they also have a Windows Media file in each post.
So gets overloaded, basically?
Well, what happens is the feed readers, you know, not all feed readers are the same. RSS is a standard, so it takes the RSS and does with it what it wants to. So like iTunes, in the case of iTunes, will take the first enclosure and ignore the second one. But other feed readers may take the second one and ignore the first one. And if the second one is a Windows Media file, which is not a podcast or podcastable format, it's just going to say, oh, there's nothing here. And, you know, it'll look like to your, you know, someone who subscribed to you that you didn't put out an episode.
And that's definitely not what a podcaster wants.
Right. You want it to be simple. You want it to be, you know, when somebody subscribes, you want it to be fail-safe. You want it to show up in their app of choice or however they download your podcast. So if you're using one of these services and you look at your feed and you notice there's two enclosures, say something to them. Hey. That's not the standard. And
right.
I just dealt with that today with one of our customers.
It's pretty simple to fix, isn't it?
Yeah, move to a different service. Yeah.
Move to a different service.
I hate to say it that way, but you know, any service that that gives you an RSS feed that has two enclosures in it, there's something wrong.
Right.
It's not the standard, and it's going to cause you problems. Now, you know, maybe it'll work on iTunes, and maybe that's all they care about.
But it's not meant for podcasting. Yeah.
Right. It's not meant for podcasting. Those WMV files are great for streaming to Windows devices, but they're not podcast files.
Right.
You know, and, MP3 and MP4 or M4V are the standards, you know, for video and audio. And, you know, the Windows Media format, although it's a great format, doesn't work for everybody.
No. No, it does not.
Let's see. Specifically with WordPress, this is number four. A lot of times we'll have problems with somebody's feed going invalid or just disappearing altogether. And it's, you know, somebody's using WordPress and they've installed a plugin from a developer that either doesn't care about RSS or decides that they should control your RSS. And so that conflicts with your podcast RSS. And that's, you know, a fairly common problem we get is other plugins.
Right.
You know,
too much going on at once.
In there that, you know, the developer, you know, only cares about whatever they're trying to do. And they're not so concerned about what everybody else is trying to do.
Right. What the podcast is actually, you know, there for.
Exactly. And so, you know, a lot of times, and I'll have a link in the show notes to a page that we created to help you troubleshoot those kind of things. And you go through that and then you can figure out which plugin it is. I won't name plugins that have notoriously been a problem. There hasn't really been that many. It's usually the one-off plugins that, you know, you've never heard of that are causing that kind of issue. But you'd be surprised at, you know, how many podcasters, this sounds neat, and they download it and then all of a sudden their feed's broken.
Right.
So, you know, be sure to, you know, when you install a new plugin on your WordPress, make sure you test all the other functionality of your website before you decide that you can't live without that plugin. Because, you know, chances are it can screw something up that you don't want screwed up.
Right. And then you've got a bigger problem on your hands.
Right. And, you know, a lot of times we'll tell people just, you know, turn off all the plugins except for PowerPress. And if the feed comes back, then we know, hey, it's one of the plugins you turned off. Keep turning them on until it doesn't work, and you know which one it is.
Right. At that point, it becomes trial and error,
yeah,
which isn't ideal, but that's most likely what you're going to have to do.
Exactly.
Because
exactly. And another problem I've seen a lot lately for some reason, and I don't know what, I mean, it goes in waves. You'd be amazed at the, it's funny. I'll get a particular problem and within a couple of days I'll get four of them.
You know,
the same problem.
I've kind of noticed that because I get the support tickets as well. I mean, obviously I don't really respond to them, but I get them. And
right.
I can see these issues popping up in clumps, basically.
Yeah. But one that's happened a lot lately is people are having issues with their feeds. Now, this is something that doesn't affect every podcasting app or every podcatcher, but it affects enough of them to cause a problem. Is people will post their episodes and put absolutely no text in the post.
Right.
So there's no show notes whatsoever.
Which is pretty terrible for your SEO as well.
Yeah, it's not good for SEO. It's not good for, you know, your, you know, you want the whole idea of podcasting and blogging, which are, you know, intimately intermingled,
mm-hmm.
is to make it easy for your listeners or readers.
Yeah.
And if you don't put any information in your show notes, it, you know, it's not good for humans, but it also isn't good for some software.
It's not good for some software, and I am not human. If you don't have show notes, like if I don't know what this episode's about, tough luck. I am not listening to it.
Exactly. Well, a lot of people say, well, we embed the show notes in the file, and that's all well and good, but
what good does that do me?
But you can't look at it until you've downloaded it. So,
yeah.
You know. So put something in there, you know, even if it's just a couple lines of text, put something in the post for your episode.
Agreed.
Yeah. And then the big one, hosting your media on the same website as your main website.
Okay.
So, you know, like I've got a website, MikeDell.com.
Right.
And I could make a directory on MikeDell.com. It says podcasts, and I could serve my media out of there. But I'm on a shared hosting account with GoDaddy in this case. And it's not meant for serving media.
No.
So what happens if my, you know, thousands of subscribers all hit that media at once? It takes down that little shared hosting server in no time flat, which also will take down your feed because that's generated at your site.
So basically everything fails.
So everything just kind of goes kaputs. You know, that's why we always say, you know, host your media on a media hosting server. You know, be it Blueberry or any one of our competitors, but it's better than doing it on your website.
Right. At that point, it's better for you to do something. To
right,
separate
exactly.
The two.
And, you know, yeah, you can get away with it when you first start out because you don't have that many people, you know, that are subscribed, but you start getting to the, you know, 300-400 subscribers.
Right.
And, you know, imagine you put out your episode at midnight and your site goes down at 1 o'clock because everybody's podcatcher has hit your site at once.
So then you're definitely down and.
Yeah. And it kills your RSS feed and then
yep.
Your directory listings don't update. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's not good mojo.
Okay. So even like, in this problem, like, is this also an issue? Because if you don't have a hosting site when you start, or if you don't have stats when you start, then you don't really like even know how well you're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't know what's going on essentially. So.
Right. But if you know, if you're just starting out and then you're just experimenting with podcasting, you know, that might be okay. But yeah, you definitely want to get a decent stats set up. You know, most media host companies have decent stats or at least usable stats. And of course, you know, us being Blueberry, we would vote for you to you know, join us.
Right.
But, you know, it's not a big infomercial.
We're aware there are other choices.
Yeah, there are
there.
Others. And, you know, they've got better stats than none. And better, and, you know, if you try to look at your web stats, that's just all confusing when you're talking about media files.
Right, because you have no idea if they listened to anything. If they listened to anything or downloaded anything, it's just great. There was a click on that page.
Yeah, and you know, when it comes to a media file, like a big MP3, so say this MP3 is probably going to be about 30 megabytes,
mm-hmm.
maybe 40, when we're done with it.
Right.
Well, if we used our web stats to count hits on that file, well, if I'm streaming it, it's going to, you know, if I listen to the whole thing, it's going to hit that file 20 or 30 times. So you're going to have 20 or 30 hits, but that's not a, you know, that's one download. And so, that, you know, that can make you think, wow, I've got, you know, 8,000 hits. No, you've got probably eight.
Which is kind of an embarrassing and
yeah, exactly. Especially if you're talking to advertisers, but that's a whole nother topic.
Yeah, that is something that we can definitely talk about at a later point.
Right. Now, part of this RSS thing is, you know, well, how do you make sure your RSS feed is healthy? Well, I've got, there's things out there called feed validators. There was a very popular one, feedvalidator.org, but they have long since become way outdated. So, you know, it's good for basic, you know, you hit that and if it's okay there, you're generally okay, but it's going to throw, you know, false errors.
Yeah.
And, you know, make you panic for no reason because it doesn't know about half of the new protocols as things have progressed over the years. So I don't recommend using feedvalidator.org as your main validator, but you can, you know, but just take their results with a grain of salt. One of my favorite ones lately is called Podbase. It's podba.se. I know it's one of those weird Web 2.0 names.
Right.
But so is Blueberry. But it's a very good validator. It doesn't give you a lot of detail, but if it passes that one, it will work on all the directories and iTunes and all that. So that's one that
which is pretty much the most important part.
Right. And if you want a little more detail and a preview of what your feed looks like, you know, to a feed reader, castfeedvalidator.com. And you just get your feed address and you just pop it into any one of these. Like I said, I keep a tab on my browser that has all three of them. And I'll run a feed through, you know, all three of those. You know, even feedvalidator.org, even though it's out of date, it's still useful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the fastest of them, you know. So, you know, there's like, and then the final best way is on iTunes, the desktop software. You know, and I know you got to differentiate that now in the world of apps, but, you know, good old iTunes, you know, fire that up on your computer and subscribe to your feed. And if it works there, it's generally going to work.
That seems like a pretty good troubleshooting tip.
Yeah, and you should subscribe to your podcast in whatever program or multiple programs just so that you can make sure that nothing goes wrong with your feed.
Exactly. You know, exactly.
Like, you know, I posted an episode a couple days ago of my podcast, and for some reason it didn't show up, and I had to go troubleshoot.
Yeah.
You know, luckily it was something silly and I took care of it and it was good, but I knew about it because I was subscribed. So that's tip, you know, the last tip I'm going to have for feeds is subscribe to your own podcast in, you know, one or more ways.
Yeah.
Just so that you know that it's working.
Very good idea.
So, and quick PowerPress tip. We talked about the large feeds, you know, feeds getting too large. Well, in PowerPress, in the settings, in the feeds tab, now you have to be in advanced mode to get this feeds tab. But in the feeds tab, there's a feed maximizer tool. It's a little checkbox you check. And what that does is it strips out a lot of the unnecessary text of any episode past episode 10. So that will allow you to get 300 in a feed if that's a you know, important to you. I wouldn't go over 300 just because that's the limit at iTunes and probably many other directories. But that's the quick PowerPress tip.
All right. That's good to know. You know, I kind of feel like I should look up how many episodes this podcast feed has, because to be honest, I have no idea.
I'm not sure either, but I think you're good for now.
Oh, yeah. I'm assuming I'll be good, but I'm just curious.
Yeah, I think we set it for 50.
Yeah.
Or it might be 10, for all I know.
I know we have more than 10.
Yeah, we do have more than 10. Most of them are video. This channel is switched to audio.
It's audio. So right.
Should be fun. And you know, talking about, you know, you just being a newbie at this podcasting thing. I know this wasn't in our layout, but I got to say, you're doing a great job and it will get better. You know, your first episode will be better or won't be as good as your 10th, and your 50th will be better than your 10th. And, you know, as you get it down, it you know, it gets better and better.
Well, thank you.
So anyway.
Okay. So to go on to our next thing, just real quick, we wanted to go back into some more podcaster news. And this one actually has to do with podcast day from last week as well. But this one is focused a little more on Steve Lee. He had the pleasure of being mentioned in the New York Times.
Yes, he was, and it was great. The I forget what the title of the article is. We'll have the link in the show notes, of course, over at, what is it? PowerPressPodcast.com.
Yeah, PowerPressPodcast.com. The article is called After Serial, What Podcasts to Listen to. So basically saying, like, podcasts have had a pretty good year.
Right, yeah. So, and like I said, Steve got a write-up right there in the New York Times. He was also on Radio New Zealand, some big nationwide radio network in New Zealand.
Yeah, that's cool.
Prior to podcast day, on podcast day, I actually was on local FM radio.
For Michigan?
Yeah, in WKLT in Traverse City.
That's awesome.
So spent a half an hour talking about podcast day, and then got to sit there while they interviewed Paul Stanley from Kiss. So
what?
So that was a lot of fun.
That's a strange mixture of things to happen in the day.
Yeah, I opened for Paul Stanley. That's what I tell everybody.
Right. So the article obviously mentions Steve and says that, you know, he's one of the founders along with his with Dave Lee for International Podcast Day, and that basically the article was giving kudos to podcasts, saying like, hey, they had an actual day and they made a lot of noise with it, and that's kind of what's going on in general. Like, we're starting, like, podcasts are starting to get known and everything like that.
Yeah, and that's great. And that was the whole reason for Podcast Day, was to, you know, get the word out
right
to people that don't know about podcasting.
Right. And then it went into specific shows. They asked, I believe, someone from a Gimlet or Panoply, I can't remember, about what shows they would recommend that people listen to. Because, you know, a lot of people listen to Serial and then they're like, what do I listen to after that? So there's a whole list of good shows to choose from in the article as well.
And of course, you can always go over to Blueberry, to our directory, and find a lot of good shows.
There are a lot of shows. I can tell you that.
And what is it? There was something else that I wanted to mention. Now I'm drawing a blank. You hate that?
Yes, it happens. It definitely happens.
Oh, man, this is driving me nuts. Oh, well, I'll save it for next time, I guess.
I know. You'll be on here again probably next month or so.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe we'll do it. We'll get it done after we get all the studio issues ironed out, and you can tell everybody what it was finally that got it to work right.
Exactly. Then I can kind of have like a little podcast dance party that I got it taken care of. Okay. Well, just to wrap up today, we talked about PodCon, which is happening October 8th on Thursday, starting at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. It's on Blab. Go to podcon.splashthat.com to RSVP. Check it out. Mike was able to give us 6 major tips about how to fix your RSS feed and working with your RSS feed in PowerPress a little bit. And then wrapping it up with Steve Lee in the New York Times. Congratulations.
Yeah, and I did finally remember what I was going to say.
Oh, good.
Yeah, everybody talked about Serial. I don't know if you guys have heard, But Serial Season 2 is coming.
Yeah.
And the subject of that is going to be the Bo Bergdahl incident there. That's the guy that got captured over in, I guess, Afghanistan.
I can't remember if it was Afghanistan or Iraq, but he was captured by the Taliban.
Right. He was captured by the Taliban, and then President made a deal to get him back, and now he's facing charges of desertion or something. And
right.
I don't know all the details, but that's reportedly what Serial Season 2 is going to tackle.
Right. That's what Season 2 is going to be about. And then it just got released as well. That Serial is going to be turned into a TV show. I don't know if you heard about that, Mike.
I heard about it. I'm not really sure that's a good idea, but okay.
I believe they said it was going to be focusing on not the story of Serial, not anything to do with the murder or the court case or anything like that, but basically a story about Sarah Koenig and Julie Snyder and, you know, NPR creating this podcast that kind of took the world by storm.
Oh, well, that might be an interesting special. I can't imagine it be a series.
I have no idea. Well, maybe they'll just do like 12. They'll just do like 12 episodes like they did for Serial, the podcast, and then they'll be done. I have no idea.
There you go. But, all right. Well, hey, it's been fun.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on via Skype. We'll be sure to have you on again with all of your support technology. And we'll be back in 2 weeks. So subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Android. Check us out wherever you listen to your podcasts.